Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. While driving through Yellowstone National Park this past week, we were able to see quite a few animals, many of them with their young. In one instance, as we sat at the front of a line waiting for a number of buffaloes to cross the road, a large car coming the other direction became impatient and started to nudge forward to see if they could make the procession of buffaloes move along a little more quickly. Only he moved forward just as a calf was coming up into the road. The calf's mother, seeing what was about to happen, jumped from the ditch up into the road in front of the car in order to block and quickly protect her calf. I couldn't see the look she gave the driver, but every muscle in her body was twitching as she stared him down. Later, at the river near our campsite outside of the park, as we were walking along the bank looking for petrified wood and other impressive stones, I watched a mother and father goose with their goslings on the other bank. The little ones wanted to get into the river instead of just trying to take a drink, but the water was moving way too quickly. As the first little one was just about to jump entirely into the swollen river, mom or dad, I'm not sure which, screeched out a loud warning and came running over to the edge. Everything ended well, but that little goose got quite the scolding as it walked back toward the woods with its parents. Whether the pronghorns encircling their young in the field, a mother bear guarding her cubs, the buffalo fending off encroaching cars, or geese teaching their recently hatched little ones, it seemed that everywhere we looked, we saw adults, parents, and entire families busy doing their duty for their young, making sure their little ones were protected and safe while they grew and learned those life lessons that would be necessary for their survival. Today, the scenery, the temperature, and the elevation are a bit different. And I'm not observing things through a pair of binoculars, but I still see adults, parents, families, and a congregation doing their duty, protecting and teaching their young ones. Only moments ago, Matthew and Brittany brought their little Valerie to the waters of holy baptism, where the Holy Spirit, through the water, connected to the Father's word, made Jesus' death for sinners and his resurrection from the dead a living reality in Valerie's life. This is what parents do. They love and protect their children. Even the animals step out and stop the oncoming car for their young. They hide and protect their babies from the predators. They teach them about danger and scold them when they get too close to the edge. As the crown of God's creation, should we do anything less? As those who are so much more than animals, we love our children and protect them from the dangers of this life. But most of all, we bring them to Jesus, that he would save them from eternal death and keep them from the evil one. This is good and right and God-pleasing. Jesus says so. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Well done, Matthew and Brittany. There is nothing more important in little Valerie's life, no greater gift that you can give to her than what you have given to bring her to Jesus. If only all of our doings as adults, parents, families and congregations were so good, right, and God-pleasing. Sometimes, too often it seems, we get it wrong. We aren't always the best examples, not always the best teachers for the young. We don't always live as we demand others to live. Sometimes our fears keep us from action. Our desires to have tranquility and some rest lead us to be silent when we should be screeching out a warning about the serious danger that lies ahead. Stopping one aggressor isn't enough. Protecting from one predator doesn't stop all of them. And frequently, that lesson that we have to teach our kids, whichever one it is, has to be taught over and over and over again before it finally sinks in. The Old Testament lesson today from the book of Genesis shows us that the husband, Adam, did not protect his children because he did not protect his God-given wife. He didn't stand in between her and the old evil foe, the aggressor. He didn't protect his bride. And then later, when the father found him hiding and asked him what he had done, without even a moment's hesitation, he lifted up his voice and he blamed her. And then he blamed God. He blamed her, he blamed God for the sin that has corrupted the very nature of every single son of Adam and daughter of Eve since that day. Adam could have learned a lesson from the simple buffalo. He could have blocked the aggressor who was pressuring his beloved, could have flexed his God-given muscles, clung to the holy ground of God's word, stared him down and backed him off. But instead, he stayed out of the way, watched to see what would happen, left her without any defense, and then joined her in the sin. Adam could have learned a lesson from the goose, too. He could have screeched out a warning when he saw the evil foe approaching his beloved, when the danger was close at hand. He could have taught his bride again about what God had said, about why they were not to eat of the tree, about the benefits and the blessings that God had given them in the creation, in the garden. But again, he was silent. No warning, no protection, no help. A house divided against itself cannot long stand. A marriage divided by the devil, with one blaming the other and both blaming God, is in great danger of being destroyed. The New Testament lesson doesn't give a much better picture of things. The scene there starts as we are told that Jesus' mother and brothers were seeking him because they thought that he was out of his mind. Instead of defending him, instead of being his greatest supporters, even his own mother, in whom he had been conceived by the Holy Spirit through the word of the angel, who was told that she should name him Jesus because he would save his people from their sins, even she thought that it would be better if Jesus packed up shop and left the area because he was embarrassing them, or worse, putting them into great danger. But the devil is not divided, and Jesus does not cast out demons or destroy the devil by the prince of demons. This is good news for all sinners. But as Jesus' own mother and brothers prove, a prophet cannot be accepted in his own hometown. Sometimes adults, parents, whole families, and congregations get it wrong. Sometimes we're like Eve and like Adam. Sometimes like the unbelieving brothers of Jesus and even his own unbelieving, for a time, mother. Sometimes we are divided against each other, and the devil is thrilled at his work. But today is not that day. The end of the Old Testament reading is the first gospel recorded in Holy Scripture, Genesis 3:15. Adam and Eve were promised a Savior, not just for them, but for their children. All of them, even you and me. Their children who inherited and still share in their sins. That promised Savior was born of woman just as God promised that he would be. And even though he was rejected by his own, rejected by those who should have trusted in him, Jesus, very God in human flesh and blood, entered the strong man's house and bound the strong man, and he has plundered his goods. The word of Almighty God, clearly spoken in the baptismal service rite that you just heard, made it clear that as children of sinful, fallen parents, even if it were possible to have no sin of our own, we belong to the devil and would be lost and condemned forever unless rescued from sin, death, and his power. And in holy baptism, this deliverance and protection is just what Jesus has done for Valerie, just what he has done for each of you. Since Valerie cannot yet speak the faith the Holy Spirit has worked in her with her own lips, we all together spoke on her behalf. Her inherited sin is real. Her actual sins are real too. And so is her Savior's love and his salvation, seen clearly in his death and resurrection for sinners. Today we spoke for Valerie, but we cannot always speak for her. As she grows in years, in wisdom and stature, she will make her confession with her own lips. She will make her own decisions, protect her own little ones from the wily foe. But for now, she is a little precious child for whom Jesus shed his blood and died, and now a fellow adopted member of God's family. And as members of this family, we pray for each other, and we pray for her. We encourage her parents. We pray for them too, that they would continue to bring this little Valerie and their other children to hear God's word, to receive his sacraments. We keep pointing to and trusting in Jesus, knowing that he alone has paid the price for our sins and failures, and that he will never leave us or forsake us. Our biological families are important. Our parents are the very ones that God has given to protect and teach us from infancy into adulthood. So important are our biological families that God even made a commandment about obeying them, obeying father and mother, obeying those who are in positions of authority over us. But here in the text today, Jesus clearly teaches us that our biological family is not our only, and not necessarily even our most important family. Who are my mothers and brothers? He asked. And looking at those who were listening to him, he said, here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. He makes this very point again, even as he hangs on the cross, dying for the sins of the world. He commended his believing mother not to his unbelieving brothers, the very same ones who thought him out of his mind and had tried to get him to go away. He commends his mother to the believer John. It was more important for Mary to be cared for by the believing John than it was for her to be with her own flesh and blood who did not yet believe. And in case you're wondering, Mary listened. John listened. And Mary stayed in John's care until her death. Now, Jesus isn't saying that you should abandon your biological family, but he is saying that anyone, even your family, or anything that leads you away from him, who leads you into the only unforgivable sin, unbelief, the sin against the Holy Spirit, whoever does such a thing or whatever entity may be in charge of doing such a thing by the devil's power, they are not doing what Christian adults, parents, families, or congregations are given to do. That means that it does matter that there is a congregation, a family here, now, and in 10 years from now, too. It does matter that false doctrine is not perpetuated or tolerated or given a seat at the table. It matters that we cling to God's word, always asking, what does his word say? What does the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth, teach us through the word? It matters that we think of others before ourselves, that we speak the truth in the kindest love, and that we do not grieve the Spirit who dwells in us. Salvation does not come because we belong to this family or that one, because we can trace our lineage to Abraham or Saint Peter or Martin Luther. Salvation comes because we have been washed clean and born again through the waters of holy baptism, and adopted into God's family through the death and resurrection of Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Welcome to the family, Valerie. Your sins, though they are like scarlet, have been made as white as snow. Your parents are not perfect. They will fail. This congregation full of people is not perfect. They will fail too. But the Heavenly Father who has adopted you, he will never fail you. Your sins are forgiven in Jesus' blood. Your sins are forgiven in Jesus' blood, too. He loves each of you, and he gave his life to save you. Not from an encroaching car, not from a swollen river. He gave his life to save you from the devil and eternal death. Rest now in his love, and go in his peace. For he has done it. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.